Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous Us Project. Today we have two stories for you. One is written by a donor-conceived child, and the other is written by a former prospective parent. And our first is titled, I Shouldn't and Don't Deserve to Feel Alone. I think it's safe to say that up until this school year, I never had a teacher that would move the class's seats every 2 weeks, so that we sat next to each individual in the room. It was nice, really. We all got to know each other as people. It was brief, but the brevity wound up making all the difference. I don't tell people I am donor-conceived. I don't advertise that I am an outcast. But I still manage to feel like nobody close to me grasps the same feelings that hit me harder than one can imagine. Weeks had passed, and finally the teacher rotated our seats yet again. She put me next to a girl I had never seen before. The girl introduced herself. It was weird right off the bat that her last name sounded so familiar. I asked her why I would know that name, and she sprung into a full explanation of how I probably knew her dad. It turned out that I did. I flashed back to him mentioning that he had two girls. I already knew he was gay. All of the feelings that rushed through me had paused. I felt like I wasn't so alone. This girl sitting next to me was also conceived through an anonymous donor. We aren't close. We just sit through class. Sometimes laugh, sometimes make small talk. I so badly just want to jump out of my seat and ask, do you lose sleep at night too? Do you wonder where the biological half of you is in this exact moment? Do you hope that they think of you too? Do you ever just think about how big the universe is and how there is one human being that is a mystery to you, but at the same time is half of you? I wonder too. I really, really do. But instead, I stay quiet. She doesn't know that my biological father is an anonymous donor, and she doesn't know that I am aware that her biological mother is an egg donor. Instead, I just look at her and a sense of hope washes over me, as I realize that my conception, just like hers, is not uncommon. Other people out there know what this entire scenario is like. I shouldn't, and don't deserve, to feel alone. Our second story is titled, No Longer Interested in DI. Dear readers, I am an infertile male who is considering donor insemination as an option for family development. But now that I have read some of the posts on the site, and other sites, I will steer well away from that path. To the DI-conceived kids, I am sorry for your troubles, for your identity issues, and for your sadness and confusion. I cannot be inside your mind, but I understand your sense of loss, the loss of the source of half of your DNA, the loss of a complete sense of self. I know that each of you will one day overcome your obstacles. You will be content. I'm not trying to minimize your concerns, as they are indeed significant. But I want you to know that you are going to be okay, even if you think you won't be. I also want to say one more thing. Please don't shit on your parents for the way you came into this world. As a man dealing with male factor infertility, I can tell you that my life has not been easy. The shame with dealing with the ridiculed, and sometimes poorly understood medical problem is immense. I can't tell you how much it hurts. How after dating a woman for months, and things are starting to get serious, you tell her you are infertile, and you become single in 3 days. This happened many times before I met my fiancé. How a doctor looks at your medical record, reads your diagnosis, and looks back up at you in disgust. And then the appointment ends abruptly thereafter. How you can't talk to anyone about your condition, except your parents. How your parents don't want to talk about your condition. How when you open up to one of your longtime guy friends about your condition, he thinks you're a pussy and tries to bang your fiancé. How you feel terrible, guilty, and worthless about not being able to provide the woman you love with a child. How you wonder if your fiancé is going to leave you, like all those other women, or if she's going to cheat on you, or if she's already cheating and you're too dumb to realize it. How you stay up wondering late at night, what would my life be like if I were normal? Please don't torture your dad. He is your father, your social and legal father, but still, your father. He's been through a lot. It took tremendous personal strength for him to become comfortable with, and to eventually eagerly want, donor insemination. Even though he felt shame and embarrassment and sadness at his condition, it didn't stop him from wanting you. And he did anything and everything possible to have you. He had to be stoic when you became curious and wanted to meet your donor. He had to bite his tongue and cry silently when, in the heat of a trivial argument, you told him that you're not even my real dad. He loved you from before the moment you were conceived. He didn't just mind you, he raised you. It's easier not to care. But your dad cared. A lot. And he was hard on you when he had to be. If your dad raised you, he is more man than your donor will ever be. It takes a set of working gonads to create life. But raising a child requires maturity, wisdom, compassion, and discipline. Nobody gets to choose their genes. You do get to choose who you care about. You only live once. Please don't say or do something that you can't undo. Your dad is a human being. He has feelings. He has limits. Minds are often more fragile than they appear to be. And those are all of our stories for today. I just want to thank you guys for writing in and sharing your journeys with us. We always appreciate that, so keep it up. And I will see you guys a few Mondays from now. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous Us Project.